You go to jail and you got to do 5 years. And 5 years is a little, 5 years is a lot. 5 years is nothing to some people, right? But everything is relative. First night you lay in the joint, you sit back and you hear everybody screaming and yelling. You hear all the noises and you go, this is going to suck.
Hey, Anthony, where'd you get this podcasting stuff from?
It fell off the back of a truck.
We're back on another episode of Breaking Bread, and we have a very special guest, Chris Mormondo. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, guys. It could be more of a pleasure, and very honored right now. Very honored.
Wow. We've been chatting it up while Anthony got started here.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what a life. I feel like, Chris, you've lived like two or three lifetimes.
Yeah, you could say something like that.
Yeah.
You definitely could.
You know, first of all, I had to point something out that was brought up by our friends Sabino and Rocco.
Love them.
You have such an impeccable style of dress. This is one of three Hugo Boss suits. And the only reason you have three is because they only make it in three colors.
That's it. If they had them in 43 colors, I'd own them in 43 colors. And that's a fact. And I even told them. I told them to the top of the tops. I went, you know, be like Baskin Robbins, 31 flavors. I'll buy 31 of them. But you got to make more colors.
Right?
Yeah.
Three colors? Come on.
I was saying this. This is how I know, you know, Chris and I are cut from the same cloth, Ant, is because I wear these polo shirts with the pockets pretty much every day, you know, because I like the shirt. I like the utility. I like the way it feels.
Yep.
You could dress it up. You could dress it down.
I know that feeling.
It stays nice in the car.
Sure.
Chris is here all the way from New Jersey today, so he knows a thing or two.
Jersey's in the house today.
About keeping the clothes nice in the car.
Absolutely.
So when you find something you like, it's like, this is like my uniform now. This is how I'm going to...
You buy it up. When you find something you love, you buy it up.
Yeah.
And if you find them in the colors you like, I back them up with double back. I back them up just in case one gets ripped. But they only have three colors. So I'm like, the green, the blue, the white. And speaking of Sabino, when I went to Sabino, I wore my green one.
I saw that with the pink shirt.
I love it.
I was like, this guy.
The
green with
pop
the pink.
Pop it out. Gotta
that's
pop it.
So, like, who, how do you even figure that? Like, do you have a stylist? Is that
no.
You've always had style.
Well, my wife is a bit of my stylist. Like, sometimes I'll go like, babe, what do you think?
Always.
But when I'm wearing my gear for like when I'm on the show Gaetano, like in the show Gravesend.
Right.
Or I'm doing my film, my wife will go, I don't know, I gotta mind your business, all right? I know how to take it from here. This is a neighborhood dress up. I know how to neighborhood dress up. When it's the dress up with the jeans and the sneakers and the sports jackets, I'm like, babe? And she's like, what? And I go, does this look good like this? And she's like, it's good. Or she'll go, no, change the back shirt. She's my stylist when the push comes to shove.
Well, you need her opinion.
Oh, absolutely.
She's a lady of style, I
imagine. Oh, my God. Glamorous, beautiful.
How long are you with your wife?
We are going to be 12 years this August, August 29th. And we were at the carpet last night. She looked, yeah, baby, I'm shouting you out. Nikki Chicky 74, my wife Nicole, looked not only beautiful, glamorous, elegant, sexy, gorgeous, the whole nine. I mean, and she wore this hot pink dress that I'm just like, you know what? You just crushed it. And she's like, thank you, baby. I go, no, you don't got to say thank you. I'm just telling it like it is because that's the way I am. I'll say it like it is. And I'm like, you just were just everything. Whatever you do, when the next one, we're going right back to another glamorous, elegant dress in the whole nine yards.
Do you ever go shopping with your wife?
Absolutely.
You know, I love to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I used to love, actually, when we used to go to the mall, we used to go to certain stores. We used to come to the city and I'd go, just, you know, like anything else. When you flush in the pocket, hey, I spend it on my wife.
That's right.
I spend it on my girls. So, and when you're tight, you got to go, hey, we got to slow it up. You know, like anything else. You got to roll
like
the punches.
Else. That's life.
Yeah. That's life. That's life. And when you're doing that, you got to also know, like, I get enjoyment of it. She's like, babe, all right, that's enough. I go, did I say it's enough? Just keep going. Let's go.
That's
and
right.
I'm going, and then let's go to the lingerie section. And
I tell my wife, you like something, get it in every color.
Amen.
Why
Amen.
Not?
If you, That's if
you,
the answer.
If you feel good, it looks good.
Absolutely.
Get it in every color. Like I like shopping with her and for her because, you know, it's for the same reason as I'm like a hype team, you know?
I love it.
You actually know what to pick out, though?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, what to get, like, what she's going to like?
Sometimes I'll go shopping for Gianna. Like, we'll have like an event that has just come up, which, you know, unfortunately, is typically like a wake or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's like, I need something. So I'll go and I'll get something, you know, that looks great on her and is appropriate for a wake.
I love it.
You know, whatever.
I love it.
And just out of knowing, you know, what looks good on my, I mean, everything looks good on my wife, but, you know.
I love it.
Really, really knowing what she likes.
You know, the old school. And you know, when you think about old school, when you think about wakes, and Anthony, I you should know this movie, Dom DeLuise in Fatso, right?
Oh my God. All right. What were we talking about that?
When his cousin Sal is in the box and he goes, he looks good, Seamity. He looks good. He looks 9,000 pounds. And he's sitting there like this. And then she blows her nose. Get your hand a glass of water. And him crying. But every time I watch that movie, The Wake, every time it makes me want to eat meatballs.
Oh, yeah.
I want to take the Italian bread, dip it, put the grated cheese. Now, that's a Sunday movie that me, my grandfather, and my mother would watch.
Yeah.
And the funniest thing is that my daughters, when we watch it, will crack up as if my mother was still alive and in the room. And she'll, like, my daughters will hear me talking to my mother, like, remember that? I call my mother Antoinette, and she used to go, stop doing that. Antoinette's always yelling. I go, but you do. You always yell.
Yeah.
And what do you want me for? I can't make it up.
I think in film, the only other look into an Italian-American household at the time was The Godfather.
Absolutely.
So, like, you know, people...
Fatso is...
Fatso was incredible.
The entire movie.
You son of a bitch!
You son of a bitch!
What about... Oh,
where's my sweet dear cousin? Where are you? Anne Bancroft.
The star.
Anne...
Unbelievable.
Z-Money. What's up? And then remember? He's on the phone with her. Yeah. Z-Money, where's...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The best.
I almost asked, where's Sal?
Yeah.
Oh, I still can't believe he's dead.
Right.
That is one of the best... And Louis Lombardi. I love Louis. Me and Louis will do the lines of Fatso once a week.
We love Louis.
I would love to see that. You guys have to do a reel.
Oh, listen to me. He's one of... Louis has always been one of my favorites ever before I even met him. And you know what the best part? I got to give him a shout out because I've been a fan of him, obviously, since the Sopranos. But I'm a fan of him from Entourage when he's Uncle Ronnie. And I was telling Anthony, I go, there is nothing better as a, when you want to mess with somebody, especially an actor, and I'm an actor, you tell them, you say, like, let's say you're on a show, right? Any show, just pick the show, right? You're on the newest show called Bread. And they go, hey, congrats on the show. And the first thing they do, they go, oh, you watch? And I go, yeah, hey, it's horrible, but hey, who cares? You're getting paid, right? So who gives a shit? And that's what Louis does with Johnny Drama. Yeah. He says, hey, congrats on the show. He goes, you watch it? Yeah, it's terrible. But hey, they pay big bucks, don't they? So who cares? And Johnny Drama's face just drops.
Yeah.
So I've always been a fan of Louis. So when Louis, one time, when we first met on the show Gravesend, he was like, Chris, man, I'm so welcome. And I was like, oh, my God. I even told my brother, I'm like, John, Louis Lombardi? I go, Uncle Ronnie? He goes, yeah. I go, he's on the money. Guy's great. He's like, that's so great to hear. I said, so welcoming, so nice. And a dynamite guy across the board. So it's double thumbs up from.
So when you say mostly, when you're a street guy, right? When someone, like when your hero's a prick to you, like what do you do?
Well, there
as a professional.
You can't go
street.
That's
a great question. That's a great question.
So here's a we're never naming a name, but I'll tell you how you roll. Ready? You roll this way. You're on a set. So you're a professional. When you get to the set, there's always going to be a moron. There's always going to be a dummy. And when they're there, you got to remember, you're not on the street. This isn't a street thing. Well, he disrespected you? No, he didn't. This is a different business. So you either suck it up and learn that this garbage sometimes happens.
Yeah.
But don't overrule it for all the greats that happen. Because there's so many greats that a couple of times that it's, you know, as we say, astunada. Don't even bother with it. But you got to deal with it. And you get sometimes when you're on the set and they're like, no, I got to shut down. I'll see you guys in about 48 hours. You see me in a while. Now you see you in 48 hours. Get back on the set. We're finishing up. I don't want to ever hear that again.
Right.
Let's go.
Yeah.
But you get that.
Isn't the whole business hurry up and wait?
Always hurry up and wait.
Yeah.
That goes without saying.
Yeah.
And you should always remember that If you want to be an actor, what was what I was telling you before? If you want to be an actor, you better learn patience. And then, like, you get to the point where it starts building up. And my high, one of my highs was, I am one of the biggest fans, and I always say his name, Amon DeSante. Yeah. Amon DeSante, who I was with last night at the premiere, and he, after seeing Gravesend the very first time he saw it before me, he wanted to let me know he's a fan of me.
Really? That's a high compliment coming
it's
from Amon.
It's humongous. And he'll laugh with me right now because I'll always joke around. I'm like, I mean, look around you, Frank Ryan. I mean, you could be successful. I have no friends. That's the life we choose. I mean, so what? So sex is a good shot at you, right? So we'll do a joke around. He goes, you do my voice better than me. I go, that's what I'm talking about. You know? I mean, what's it all about, Jimmy, right? So when we're doing it, when he says it, I go, I'm on the phone, and I go, I'm on to tell you the truth. I don't know how to answer to that. Because I am a big, huge fan of you for many, many years. My father's a humongous fan of you. And here you are telling me that you're a fan of me. And then last night, being on the carpet was just, and after watching the first episode, and Gravesend, I mean, I got to watch two episodes last night, and I'm telling you, prepare, it's on the money.
And this is the season that's going to be set in Miami.
It's 9 episodes, 3 in Miami.
Okay.
Maybe 3.5, and then we're back in Brooklyn, baby.
Oh, wow.
And you have some big names in it, too, this time.
So we have, I mean, here's last night. So, I mean, Last night, the premiere. You have, let's start with Amon DeSante, Chaz Palminteri, Gina Gershon, Fran Drescher, Chuck Zito, Bo Dietl.
Wow.
Andrew Dice Clay, Vic DiBattista, Leo Rossi, myself, Will DeMeo, Christian DeMeo, William Forsythe, Mario Cantone. And I'm leaving people out already, probably. Steve Monterano made his debuts in there. Love Steve. Love him. Yo, cuz.
The best.
He's just on the money.
Renee down Big, there?
Renee, that's what I'm saying. See, Renee sat right in front of me at the premiere. Go, baby, go! he's on the money. So many names in there. And you just roll with it like you just can't believe it. And then after the first episode, and I am so proud to say this, you got Chaz coming up to me going, you know you're that good. You are that good.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there going, thank you. He goes, no. And I know Chaz a long time. But he goes, I always said it. You were going to make it big.
We have a natural ability.
Thank you. But when you hear the ones that, to me, A Bronx Tale, there is no better. Because authenticity to me was perfect. Growing up in the neighborhood, to me, A Bronx Tale, there's no better authenticity.
Great storytelling.
Great.
Yeah.
The never over the tops. The less is more. When you were in the neighborhood, and again, naming no names, you walk on 13th Avenue where I lived.
Yeah.
There was some certain stone cold killers on every avenue, in every block. You know, you think about something. You grow up in the neighborhood, you go, how could I be on 66th Street and 13th Avenue and there's 30 guys? Then I go to 69th Street and 13th Avenue, there's 30 guys. Then I go to 72nd Street and 13th, there's 30, 40 guys. Then I go to 76th Street, there's 30, 40 guys. Where are all these guys coming from? But you walk through.
Usually from the basement with the machines.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're just coming through. But you think about it. You sit there and go, where do they come from? But you had guys that they'd sit there like this. Somebody whisper into their thing. They go like this. Now, they could have been asking, you know, Sal, you want some sauce and peppers? And he goes, but you're across the street. You go, what the heck did he just ask? Do we kill him? No. Then all of a sudden, the guy goes like this. He goes, this, and he goes,
"Yeah."
He goes, there's somebody going to die today. No, he just said he wanted extra anchovies on his pizza. That's all he wanted. So you want extra anchovies? Yeah, I want them.
There's a viral TikTok right now.
What is it?
Of a video of some friends of ours having a conversational.
Oh, I saw that, and that
is it. The murder one.
Outdoors.
What murder?
The
one in Staten Island.
Yeah, that no. They're doing. I want more peppers. I want more peppers. No peppers. You want that? They would just shoot
our friend.
Really?
Yeah. Outside of where they hang out on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah.
That place over there, but we don't know where it is.
He
knows where
it is. Over there about that thing.
He
knows our friend, and he knows where he hangs out on Sunday.
Hey, watch this. I don't know nothing.
Yeah.
We don't know nothing, but the guy that was supposed to be over there is over there, but he's over here. Let it go.
Was that a seed of your creativity, watching those guys and kind of like
There's no other better way of learning.
Coming up with what are they saying?
Yeah, because if you think about something, you know, it's like anything else. There's going to be good days and bad days. You're going to have people that are going to have attitudes and people going to be gentlemen. And it goes, when you break it down, it does go in every profession.
Right.
You think everybody gets along? You think everybody doesn't want to backstab each other in certain professions, certain things? I don't care if you're the biggest pro baseball player, football player. There's always haters. And you learn from it. You know, when you hear it,
you got to glean something from that part of your life.
And you have to learn. Yeah. You have to learn. You have to learn that if you tell them, I don't want to point here. So this person over here, where's nobody, they tell me something and I listen. Okay? And I go, sounds very convincing. Good.
Yeah.
But I need to learn now if he or she is telling the truth.
Right.
And you learn by the eyes. You know, you look at the eyes. You ask a simple question. You know, I could do certain questions. I'd ask simple questions just to get a reaction. How fast you answer when I know you're going to know the answer. Like, what is your name? Is your name Sal? You know, the first answer is, yeah. See, I'll study mannerism, not just you, to anyone. So you start studying mannerisms to the point where when you ask them another question, it's another Eva. Oh, wait, you got two kids, right? Yeah, I got two. Yeah, two, a boy and a girl. Oh, okay, good. Yeah, last night, were you at that club last night? See, now you learn. So when you take that, you also teach it to when you're going to become an actor now. Because now when you're writing, as I write, I produce, I direct. So when I'm directing now I try to give you a scenario when I say, you know what? You're answering too fast. Let me give you a good scenario. If you did something wrong, and now this guy's asking you something, I want you to think of, I don't want to know what you did wrong in your life, if you even did anything, but if you did, you stole the cookie from the cookie jar, I don't want to know. We don't want to get anybody giving up information, but you will know. So you learn it in the film business. You take street knowledge, you take what you see on the street, you take what you think you see on the street, you see people just talking and whispering. Well, you really don't know what they're talking about. They could be saying, hey, did you send the flowers to the old man's wake? Yeah, I took care of that. All right, good. Well, people look from a distance, go, did he just give a contract out? You know, they just start thinking like the movies, right? So you laugh at that. But now you put it into film where when you start teaching and coaching, now you start bringing it, but you do it the right way. And that's why A Bronx Tale is the best. It's not over the top. It's authentic. It's perfect. You see the guys just sitting outside the Shea Bibby, right? They are sitting there. They're not yelling and screaming. They're not yelling for, bring me extra peppers on my bread. No, you're not doing that. They're just going like this. Come here, kid. And they're going, here, take this. Go give me that. And they're just sitting there. They're playing cards or they're playing stickball. That's authentic.
What was it like to come from, like, where you came from and, like, see where you are now and, like, the parallels? So, like, you know, obviously you, like, grew up, like, you know, a certain kind of way. And now, like, you know, you're on the red carpet. Like, what do you see, like, from your past to your future? Like, does your life flash be before your eyes sometimes and you think twice about it?
You take it as the biggest blessings to what happens in life. Because let me give you the negative side. So I did time in jail, right? I was away a bunch of years.
And I didn't know that.
Okay, so I say it. I don't have a hider because there's nothing to hide. I did what I did, so and I took my penalty for it. I went to jail for it. But I had a wife at the time. I had my baby girl was 2 and a half, which today, shout out to my daughter Taylor, happy birthday. 24.
God bless. God bless.
Today she turned 24, but she was 2 and a half when I left. My older daughter Nikki was 5 and a half. So you go to jail and you got to do 5 years. And 5 years is a little, 5 years is a lot. 5 years is nothing to some people, right? But everything is relative. First night you lay in the joint, you sit back and you hear everybody screaming and yelling. You hear all the noises and you go, this is going to suck, right? End of story. So yeah, that's the whole thing. It's the, you know, time is relevant to anyone. Money is relevant or irrelevant to some. It doesn't, you know, you don't know. So you take your penalty, you know, where we come from. You know, you do the crime, you do the time. There's nothing to figure out. And no, it's not per case basis. You do the crime, you do the time. End of story. Don't play the game. Get out of the game. Don't be part of the game. You shouldn't be involved with the game. You shouldn't be involved with anything.
How'd you get involved?
You just do. Okay? So I was not a school guy. I was not an educational guy. I was, you know, you hang around the neighborhood, so you are impressed by the guys with the suits. You're impressed with...
It becomes your world.
Yeah.
You become impressed. And then you watch the movie. So you watch A Bronx Tale. You want to be a Sonny. You do. I don't care he ended up dead. That's the life as well. But you do not think about, oh, I'm going to go and there's nothing wrong with it, but I'm not going to... A UPS driver, a bus driver. That's the Bronx Tale. That's why it's so beautiful. He happens to be a bus driver against the street guy. The street guy lives it up, but the street guy never knows. And the street guy goes with a penalty as well that, let's just say you live, but you may not last. You may go get the life ride. So you may not ever get around that. Because one thing you could do in your life could last the rest of your life. Remember that.
Right.
One thing.
Yeah.
So one split second, pow, it's over. Now the rest of your life you could be pow behind the bar. So... You take that. But in my situation, my first night laying in there, you sit there and go, all right, this is really going to suck. But I have two baby girls now. So you sit there and go, okay, you got to hold it together. Time will move, as they say, which it does. But you, in your first day, you're not going to believe that. So you sit there and go, okay. But then let's talk about it. You're not working, obviously, because you're now away. You went through a truckload of money for lawyers that they all sucked anyway.
Right.
You lose possessions because they were never yours to begin with. Then you're going, you're just starting to get in the rhythm. And this ain't a feel sorry. Then the wife decides it's my time to be on her own.
Right.
Okay. Now it ain't even the wife part, and that's not to bash. That's a decision made by an individual. You can't hang. I understand. Trust me, I do. I don't just say to sound good because I have my wife now who that was my blessing. But when you're on a visit and you hear those words and you have your little girls, you're like, okay, now you're like, now this? So not only did I lose all of that and I'm here, now you lose your family. Or you think you're losing your family, even though you never lose your family, but you do think it. You're sitting in there going, I have how many more years to go? I'm losing my hair and I have no work. I have no money now. You start thinking wild. Then you get it together. And then that's when you start realizing, okay, I will never lose my kids. I'll never lose even their mom. You're always going to look out and take care because it's still the mother of your child and your children and all of that. And we have old school values. But then you go, but what am I going to do? Mm. You actually think.
Did your friends stay your friends?
I will say this every podcast, everything I do. I have the best friends a man could ask for. I have the best friends a man can ask for. I was not disappointed. People, they know. They're my friends to this day, and you're supposed to weed out people. There was nobody to weed out. My friends are the best friends a man could ask for to this day. I am some of them. I'm the godfather to their children. They never went a day without watching out. My daughters would come up on a visit and say, Daddy, you know, Uncle Greg came up and he was making us walk the ceiling. And then he took us to Toys R Us. We picked out everything and anything.
So important.
And then my ex would say, you know, he gave money to this kid. So I can't go through that. But what you do is you go through the trying time of now. What are you going to do when you get home?
Right.
Not repeating my life. So that's the question. And my brother came up, and this is the running joke. He goes, so what are you going to do when you get home, maybe? You know, like, what are you? And I go, once I get myself situated for the girls, my daughters, I says, I'm going to be an actor. And he goes, all right, you always wanted to do it. I said, yeah. He goes, so you're going to go to school for it? I go, school. Come on, bro, school. I hate school. I don't care. The kids don't want me to mentor them on that one because I hate school. I hated school. I was not a school person. He goes, but you're going to go to class for it. I go, what class? I'm on my own character. He goes, how are you going to do it? I go, bro, I'm your little brother. You're supposed to know that I'll figure it out. He goes, but that's what I'm nervous about. I go, no. I'm not doing it the wrong way. So now this day and age, whenever he comes over and I put up like 80 DVDs and I go, hey, how did I do it? And he goes, shut up, yes, you know. But that's the running joke. But you figure it. But it's my friend, one of my dearest friends that helped. Just by introducing me to someone, but take it from there. And next thing you know, Steve Van Zandt got me in Norway. And that had nothing to do, like, it was just on an audition.
Lillehammer.
Great
show.
You were on that show?
Yes. That was the real breakout of what I was doing. I did a thing for the New York Film Academy, long story short, a scene.
Great role.
Lillehammer, yeah.
And the woman, the casting director, comes into the Film Academy. She sees the big screen and she goes, ready for this? I wanted hair my whole life. She goes, who's the effing bald headed guy? So they go, his name is Chris Momando. He has never did it. This is his first thing. She goes, I want him for the show. So I would get, I get an email on a Saturday from her. Hi, Chris, this is Eve. But you got to understand, I also have, I have breakers for friends. Like the phone would ring and I go, hi, this is Chris. And he goes, hey, Chris, Marty Scorsese here. Like, yeah, Marty, you know what you could do, right? Kiss my ass. My friends would mess with me. They would call, a girl would call and she'd be like, Mr. Momando? And I'm like, yes. They go, could you hold? We have Bob De Niro waiting to speak to you. And I go, tell Bob where he could go. Tell Joe Pesci. And he goes, no, no, you hear Pesci in the background? They'll be playing it. So when I got the email, I'm like, my friends fucking with me? I'm thinking like they are fucking with me. Yeah. So I'm reading it and I go, I pick up the phone to the Film Academy and I go, is this for real? And they go, yeah, you got to audition.
Is this for real?
Is this for real? And I wind up sending it in. Next thing I know, she calls me on a Monday. And I made my daughter Taylor, who's 24 today, she did the videos for me because I had four talking parts. I go to set and I meet Steve Van Zandt for the first time. And I go, Steve, thank you so much. And he goes, nah, 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 nah. You, you crush your audition, and you're gonna go out there and break a leg. And looking at you, you might have broken a couple in your day. And I go, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, either do I, but I got to go put on hair because I have no hair like you. And that was the start of it. And the next thing I know, I'm in Oslo, Norway, and he goes, and I quote, and I'll never forget this, and this is proud. They're going, Steve, who is he? Who is he, Steve? So he goes, you don't know him yet, but you will. He goes, let's even be more straightforward. We do another Sopranos. He goes, I'm still Silvio, but here's your new Tony. And I go, why don't you stop that shit? He goes, no, no, no. You don't have no idea what you got. So Sid, if you would have heard Sid this morning on the show, Sid saying it, and the compliments that I got last night, because I'm in every episode for Gravesend. And I'm a main character. And if you would have just listened, my wife was like, babe. And my wife, you see, I get old. That's how much I love my wife. So you see the blessings that come about it. You lose one, right? It doesn't work out. I looked in the mirror. I went back to the cell. I went into the mirror and I went, you're going to cry one day because I'll be the first one to admit it.
How many years in is this?
This is it's about 2 years in. So I got another 2+ to go, 2.5 to go.
Wow.
You go through that. But there's always the lesson. The lesson is, when, how could you be thankful for when something doesn't go your way? How could you? How do you do that? Can you do it? Not everybody can. That's the test. And you see, I'm on the shows. I'm on the films. I did 2 years with For Life on ABC with 50 Cent. I did a whole bunch of shows. All those are great. There's no buts. They're all great. They're all blessings. But it came after. Not... oh, okay, so she just broke up with me, so I need it now. Or I'm alone, I'm in jail, I need you to get me out faster so I can get out and start doing. Don't work that way. Trying times, let's see what you're made of. And it doesn't mean if you break that you're not strong. It just means you're human. How about that? And I've went through my own times. I have hard times. There's times there's nothing in the pocket, there's times it's flush in the pocket. There's times when the wife could go shopping, and there's times when I tell my wife, not right now.
And where you're at now is the principal role on the second season of a hit Amazon Prime show.
Gravesend.
Right.
Yeah, I'm Gaetano.
Gaetano.
Gaetano. He comes home from jail. He's the childhood friend of the main character, Benny Z, which is played by William DeMeo. He's the writer, director. And it was great last night. This was long awaited. We've been filming this from, we started this back 2 years plus.
Yeah.
In Miami.
Wow, long time.
Yeah. And it was so beautiful to finally get there last night. Like the adrenaline, the flow, being on the carpet, being just with everybody, seeing it and then watching it together. And it was just, it's as great as, like, you know, you sit there and say, this is just beautiful.
I saw your post, the one of you crying, and like, yes. I have to say, that was brave. And what I mean by that is, I feel like, you know, especially amongst our culture, Italian American men,
sure,
you know, don't get that length. They don't get that ability to do things like that. And a young man like me, I don't want to say like I'm too young, but I'm
younger. Younger. You're younger.
Right. You know, watching you do something like that, it really struck me. And it struck me in a kind of way where you want to know what? It is okay.
Absolutely.
And you did a really very important thing, because a big stigma is of men's mental health still till this day. So I really admire that you did something like that.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that more than you know, because that is always something that happens and is going through the minds. Nothing is what it seems. Nothing is as good as they think it is. But it doesn't mean it's not great. It is great. I enjoy everything I do. I enjoy the ride. And even last night, I told my wife is gorgeous. My wife is, oh my God, she's the nicest person I've ever known in my life. How about
What's your wife's name?
Nicole.
Shout out Nicole.
Shout out Nicole. Nikki Chicky 74 on her Instagram. And she is.
Well, at Chris Mormando while we're plugging.
Chris right underscore here. Mormando. No, I'm more of a man. I'm Chris, a Mando.
Oh, Mormando.
Mormando. Sorry. It's all right. Mormando. We used to always joke around in school. They go, Mr. Mormando. I go, Mormando. Mormando. And then they go, and I wonder why he didn't go to school anymore. I used to do that. But yes, Chris underscore Mormando.
If you want
to
see this post, yeah.
Oh, there's a bunch of them. And I do, you know, now I'm going to be starting to do like more of the adversity type of podcasting, or I should say videos. Mm-hmm. Adversity, my biggest thing, being in the can. My brother sent me this thing, and it said, adversity causes some people to break and others to break records. And
yeah.
I used to circle break records, and I used to put it in a cell, and I used to see it. And that was, I love that line. So I'm doing things called adversity, which would be when you're going through what you're going through, you take that adversity and you turn it around. You figure it out. How? You open up. If you don't open up to somebody, if you have nobody to open up, then it's either on you or you're just afraid.
Well, it's just getting in touch with your own emotions.
Yes.
Yeah. You know?
It's on you or you're just afraid to open up. That's what you shouldn't be.
That's what makes you a great actor.
Thank you.
You're in touch with your emotions.
You have to be.
100%.
You have to be.
You have to comprehend every single human emotion.
Absolutely. And DeSalvo, who plays my mother in this new film that we just shot called Judge No Book. Now, that's the one that I wrote 11 years ago, and we just shot it, and we had what a cast. Lenny Venito, Gino Caffarelli, Ann DeSalvo, Tara Westwood, Malia Varela, Gary Pastore, Bo Dietl, Saul Stein. Ann DeSalvo, who plays my mother, she goes, now Ann DeSalvo's been in Woody Allen films.
Yeah.
She's been Dudley Moore. She plays Cheers. Everyone, Seinfeld. She goes, how do you get so into your character? And Sonny Marinelli. I knew I was leaving somebody out. Sonny Marinelli plays my cousin, my best friend too, in the film. But she goes, how do you get so into the character? And I said, when I'm talking to you and you're my mother, it just takes me a matter of about 30 seconds and I'm just picturing you as my mother. And then I picture on how I actually was with my mother. Now, I was not a mama's boy. Now, my mom and dad split up when I was younger. So there was always a lot of tension in my home. My dad wasn't there. My mom was upset and depressed and would always want to like, I felt like they both weren't there, right? So you learn again. My older brother moved away. He went to college. He met his childhood sweetheart. They lived out in Jersey. Got married. Stayed in Jersey. And God bless, he's still married today. But he was not there. So now I'm 12, 13, 14. Well,
brother's older.
He's 4 years older than me. But he went to when I came back to Brooklyn. We lived in Jersey for a small time. My mom and dad broke up, and then I moved back to Brooklyn again. When I move back to Brooklyn, I'm back on the street. That's it. My path becomes different.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not blaming. It's just how it went. I didn't want to go to school. I was not a school. And it's probably because I don't know all these things they have, ADAs, ADDs. I have them all. I can't sit still.
No. Right.
I'm a hyper. Whatever you have a label for, trust me, I'm that label. Yeah, they just definitely didn't know it back then. Okay, I'm everything. So I didn't want to sit in school.
Another great mark of creativity.
100%.
Every three-letter disorder
Everything.
There is.
I got it. Teachers, here's the greatest teacher in the world. I go to FDR first.
Yeah.
And then I get thrown out because I wasn't a good student. And I go to New York Tricked. And this is a hysterical story. So I remember coming into the school, into the class, and I'm like to the teachers, I go, all right, listen, I'm going to come here every day. Don't call on me, though. But I'll be here. I want my 65. And at the time you need a 65, I says, I'll pass. You won't hear. I won't be disrespectful. I won't say a word. But don't call on me. You call on me, we got a problem. They're like who the hell is this kid? Okay. Now, every report card, I lived with my grandparents, right? So it'd be my grandfather sat here, my grandmother here, my mother, if she came to the table, would sit there. And you'd see 65, 65, 65, 65. That was enough you needed to pass. That's it. So one time we're in, and the teacher goes, if anybody could guess this song, who sings it, I'll give you a 90 on your report card. So we're all sitting there. All right, go ahead. And he goes, all the leaves are brown, the leaves. I go, the mamas and the papas. And he goes, how did you know that, my man? I go, Mr. I'll always say, I go, you promised me a 90. I swear I know where you live. He goes, relax, my man, though. He goes, you're getting your 90. Now, fast forward it. We're at the table. I come home with a report card. There you go. 65. Say, my grandmother's crying, of course, right? Report type. Oh, my mother. Oh, yeah. I go, I guess nobody noticed that I got a 90 in history. So my grandfather's just eating. He don't say. They go, oh, he did. Oh, maybe this is where he excels. I go, maybe history is my thing. My grandfather goes like this. I went like this. I look away. He goes, we'll talk after. I go, you know, history, 90. I didn't even know there was a president, vice president.
Right.
And I'm a history buff. My grandfather goes, what's the name of our president right now? I go, I don't know. He goes, yeah, and you got a 90 in history. What happened? I go, and he goes, and don't lie to me. I go, I've never lied to you. I go, I guess the song. He goes, all right, let's just make them think you're a history major and a big buff. So I go, thanks, Grandpa. We go back. I go, so yeah, you know, it was, you know, I remember back, it was 1907 when this certain treaty came in. I go, but you know what? Let's not get into it. Let's eat dinner. We'll talk about treaties later. And they're like, oh, he knows everything.
So you were like, George Washington chopped down the cherry tree.
Cherry. Wait, watch. Who's George Washington?
Was your mother first generation?
My mother was first generation.
So they didn't know American history either.
No.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
No. Nothing.
Right.
You know nothing.
Right. So you could have said anything.
Anything. But with the funny part, the crying. My grandmother crying. Crying. So you sit there and go like, guys, pay attention.
And this is at what? This is in what grade, would you say?
This was 17, so it was junior year.
Wow.
Junior year. That was 1987.
You see, not a lot of high school kids these days are that sharp.
1987.
It's funny that you said that, because I was thinking, as soon as he said that, what would a kid today do? Like, a kid today would actually make the teacher an offer they couldn't refuse. Like,
today, forget about today. This day, my wife.
I know, forget it.
I don't even know what they do in those classrooms, because you from then to now, remember, in the 80s, there was.
How do 17-year-olds drive cars if they can't talk to an adult?
Well, yeah.
17s, and I was driving cars at 13. So you see, like, driving the car, our neighborhood. That was the neighborhood.
I was driving cars at 13.
13. We were driving cars at 13. Like, my mother would go, where's the car? I'm like, what car, Mom? She's like, where's the car? My brother would have it. Then I'd take it. I mean, we were kids.
Yeah.
You know, we were not. It was nothing. But we would take the car. But
around the block.
That was Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Brooklyn, you go to the bowling alley, you drive down 13th Avenue, you're showing everybody you got the car. It's like a movie. Yeah. Until you crash into something. And I did one time get into a little accident, and I'm like, oh, man, we're screwed now. I was like 14, 15 years old. I'm like, oh, man. And the guy
what
was.
What were you driving?
I was driving, ready for this? I was driving a blue Regal with a white door. See, we didn't have money. My mother had a blue Regal with a white door because the white door got smashed, and we had to go get a friend of ours, put another door on it, and it was white. But again, you didn't care. You went out there, you let your friends load up in the car, and you all went out.
You know, last night had to be pretty life-affirming.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
you're at a huge premiere. You're surrounded by, you know, people you've watched your entire life.
Yes.
In show business.
Yep.
You're there with your beautiful wife.
Yes.
Nicole. She's in a hot pink dress.
Yes.
You know.
Gorgeous.
You, right now, thinking back on this life, thinking about your daughters, you know, 24 and 26 or 27.
Going to be 27 in August. That's right. 24 today and 27 August 17th.
Thinking about all the blessings you've been given in your life.
Amen.
And all of the lessons you've learned.
Yes. Amen.
How do you gather that experience? How do you trust God's plan? What is on the horizon?
All right. So I think I said it earlier. Trusting is the hardest thing that people could do. It's like, I believe without seeing, right? He who believes without seeing will inherit the kingdom of the earth. When you don't know what's in front of you, that's the hardest part. Go into a red carpet. That's, yes, that is nodding in agreement saying, look, you did this. You did it. There is nothing more rewarding than that. Last night was very emotional and very thankful. And the going forwards is, I directed and produced my film that I wrote 11 years ago, which we just did it in this year, February. I directed, and not one, two, but three. You had Bo Dietl, Gary Pastore, and Andesavo. All three of them worked on three different days, so they didn't work together. Only Gary worked on one day, but Gary said this on a show the other night. Bo said, I've been around the biggest and the best. I have seen this, I have seen that. You all know Scorsese is my guy. He goes, you just witnessed you're working with the younger Scorsese. And I went, oh, please, don't even start that. I see. He goes, don't even start that. And he goes, that's the thing that you don't know yet. You'll see it. Then Gary Pastore, same thing, goes up on a thing and says, you know, the film that we just shot looks like Chris shot it for $10 million, but he did it as an indie. He goes, and they ask him, who's, you know, you've been working with this, he was working with that. You know, Scorsese is probably big. He goes, yeah, Marty's great, and I work with Marty a lot of things. He goes, but Chris Romando, that's your newest guy coming up at the plate. Andesavo said to my brother, you know your brother's the young Marty, right? So he laughs, and she goes, yeah, well, you're laughing, but I'm not. So when you hear things like that, I don't sit there and put myself in that class. It's not even close. Marty is to me, is the tops of tops. But I also wouldn't put myself in that same class as the Academy Award-winning actors as well. Not yet. Because I'm going and I'm learning and I'm progressing. So progressing and doing that, that's what I keep in front of me. Matthew McConaughey says, what is your goals? What is your hero? My hero's me in 10 years from now. I love that line because the truth is he is not his hero today. You always gotta give yourself love and credit yourself. And then you got to say, but here's where I want to go. Now, I want to direct again. I love direct. One of the guys said is sitting in the room, Gino Caffarelli. Gino was one of my crew in the film. And I was saying the names before. It was great. I'm a fan of Gino. So I've watched Gino. And now Gino is working with me. I'm working with him. Sonny Marinelli, as I told you. Sonny, I casted him first out of everybody. To work with him, I loved it. Then to just add in all the names as I was telling you earlier. It's the next steps. Gravesend, what I watched last night, is amazing. And I never give myself that credit because I'm always like, oh, I could have paused a little bit here. I could have went a little. You start to see and I go, damn. And now you're on the screen. You're sitting amongst the ones that, like you said, you've watched. A Bronx Tale, I told you. And Chaz knows me well enough. I don't kiss no one's ass. Everyone that doesn't know me, no, I say it straight. If I say I'm a fan, I'm a fan. I was a fan. And to be, you know, years ago, when I first met him, to be in his home. His daughter, Gabriella, was a baby. Now she's filming with us on the show Gravesend. So look at that. I remember telling my brother, I'm going down the driveway of Sonny from A Bronx Tale. And the first thing he did was he goes, come here, give me a hug. You start seeing things, and what do you do that? It's almost like you're manifesting things. The universe is talking. The guy in the sky always looks out. Do you know when I wrapped up on February 24th, I wrapped, that was a Friday. Do you know the 25th we had a blizzard up in North Jersey where I filmed?
Wow.
We had a blizzard the next day. Of course we did. Of course we did. You just waited. I know you held off. You said, I'm going to put the blizzard on the 25th. You're going to get everybody out of there, and it's going to work. And Rosemary, just laughing, it's the truth. So that's the thing when it comes to spiritual. You have to believe and trust. I don't have it all by the you-know-whats. What I am out there, it's nothing what it seems. It's a grind. I call it Groundhog Day every day. You don't know what it is. You were fabulous. You are fabulous. I shouldn't say were. You are fabulous. America's Got Talent, I watched you. I loved it.
Thank you.
So you don't just say it. You either go, watch, all right, let this person do what they're doing. Or you say, I friggin' love this guy. You know why? Your biggest thing was confidence. You came on that show and gave a confidence level that I understand. And you didn't go shy boy on anybody. That's the way to be. No such thing as shy boy, shy girl. Don't exist. You either bring it or don't. Kelly Clarkson, sound crazy. Going to leave it at this with Kelly. Kelly Clarkson, I went into jail in 2002. She won the title. Do you know a moment like this is one of my most favorite songs? Do you know why? A moment like this, it says some people wait a lifetime for a moment like this. See, I could get emotional. I have waited my whole life to be behind the screen, behind the camera and on the screen, I should say. So when it happened, I remember being mic'd up and the guy said, you're a spiritual individual. So I went, okay, how do you know? He's hearing me in the bathroom going, Lord, I won't disappoint. You've given me the chance. You have given me the opportunity. I will not fold. I will do exactly what I'm capable of doing because you're giving me this opportunity. And I throw up for DMX. In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me, judgment, thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, said the Lord. Amen. That's the protection. I met Gino on, I didn't even know Gino. So that's really not, I don't want to overstate. I didn't know him. I worked with him on a film called Jersey Bread. I got to know Sonny more because I was in the van ride with Sonny and always been a fan of Sonny. Then Gino was already on the set, so I was just able to say hello and goodbye. Then you see how it works, a small world. I talked to Sonny. I said, Sonny, I don't really know the guy Gino. On the money, is he good? He goes, Gino's great. You reach out to him. Oh, I go, would you reach out to him? Because he doesn't know me. But you see how it works? You start building that camaraderie, that la familia, you know, the family style.
Yeah.
And it works. It works. But it's got to be right here. This has got to work first. It's got to be right.
Yeah.
And the eyes, Chico, okay? They never lie. I tell you, no kiss.
You got a
no
lot
kiss,
of heart.
Okay?
You got a lot of heart, Chris. That's for
Amen.
Sure.
Amen. Yes,
you got
Amen.
A lot of heart.
Thank you for coming on, Chris. Appreciate
I
it.
I appreciate, guys. Thank you so much for having me. And I love my palette sitting over there, Gino. I love it. And a shout out to everybody. Gravesend last night was amazing.
Nicole.
And Nicole, my daughter Taylor.
Happy birthday,
Happy
Taylor.
Happy birthday, Taylor, 24. But. And then we got Judge No Book that we're going to be bringing it soon. It's going to be posting, you know, I'm going to post little things here and there, but we got a winner on that one. There's no doubt. It was filmed and shot great. And we're going to be doing a lot more. The Boys of Fall comes next. The behind the scenes of the scariness of Friday Night Lights. It's going to be another one. Got a bunch of them coming.
Amen to that.
Amen to that.
I can't wait to see you succeed more.
Amen and amen. Thank you guys again.
Thanks.